Around an A screen, into the paint. The runner threw it up and in somehow. Was he even looking at the rim? I have no idea. Who cares? 30 for James Harden.
James Harden and the Rockets on a roll in the NBA. They've won 7 in a row. James Harden, MVP candidate. And here to talk NBA basketball is Chris Mallory, Director of Community Relations and Player Development for the Phoenix Suns. And he's also a proud Pittsburgh State Gorilla. Correct, Chris?
Yes, sir. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. There must be this connection between you and gorillas because Phoenix has a gorilla, Augusta Gorilla at Pittsburgh State. There's a connection there, isn't there?
You know what? The only two mascots I've really ever been a part of, both gorillas, and I think I don't think there's any other gorillas that are really out there. So, yeah, it's definitely unique. It's quite the situation, and the funny thing is that our gorilla has actually been to Pitt State in the early 90s, so he knew exactly what I was talking about when I came on board 14 years ago.
Well, if you ever want to retire and then go to a small town, you could go to Solomon, Kansas. They are the Solomon Gorillas in high school football.
I'll keep that in mind. I have to get that one past the wife first.
Not sure
if she's going to go for that.
I'm thinking probably not, and I wouldn't say that's – Solomon's a nice town, but I think you're pretty good where you're at there in Phoenix. Okay, well, tell us a little bit about what you do. You're the Director of Community Relations and Player Development. What does that mean? What's your job entail?
Yeah, you know what? What I do is pretty much handle all of our player endeavors off the court. So, obviously, our basketball operations folks handle everything on the court, but everything that happens off the court from player appearances to, you know, player well-being is through our office. So, we do everything from hospital visits to we just did a playground build with 7 of our guys yesterday with Kaboom at a small town in the Phoenix area that's underserved, and just keeping these guys engaged in the community and doing just great things and goodwill, especially this time of year during our season of giving. So player development side's a little tricky. It's more developing guys as people. And, you know, I think we forget sometimes that we get kids that are literally anywhere from 18, 19, 20 years old. So they may not have had some of those skills that we've all had, building up a checking account, resume building, going back to school. A couple years ago, set up for a different company to teach one of our players to drive who, was from Europe and had never learned to drive while over here in the States. So, a lot of real-world stuff, which is fun, always keeps me on my toes, and you never know what's coming at you day in and day out.
How long have you been with the Suns organization now, Chris?
This is my 14th year, so kind of crazy. This was supposed to be a stopgap until I could be you, my next broadcast job, and really fell in love with the organization and what we did and the platform. I was able to do it, and then did that for a year, and then the following year, Steve Nash came in and kind of set the league on fire. So it was amazing to be able to be with him and see what he was able to do, not only on the court, which is absolutely amazing, but all the things that he's done off the court and still actually does, and in Phoenix and in Vancouver, Canada, where he's from, and also New York City, where he lives in the summertime.
I'm friends with you, of course, on Facebook, and if you don't know, full disclosure here, Chris and I both went to Pittsburgh State. That's how we know one another, and Chris doing good things there with the Phoenix Suns. And so I see some pictures that you or your family post, and I noticed certainly that you've mentioned Steve Nash, and when people think Phoenix Suns basketball, I think the first name, for the most part, that comes to their mind is Steve Nash. Before he went to the Lakers, he had his best years with the Suns. He had some good years with the Mavericks. But what was it like to get to know Steve Nash? What is he like as a person? Because I think a lot of times as a fan, we see what they can do on the floor, and we see some things in front of the camera. Sometimes it's special and they're sincere. Sometimes we know it can be an act, but it sounds like Steve Nash is a first-class act.
He's one of the most sincere people that I've ever worked with, and I think what you see, during interviews and different situations is exactly the person that he is. And you're right, you don't always get that. When I started, it was 13 years ago, David Stern put a dress code and enforced a dress code for all players, and a lot of guys that didn't really affect. The only guy on our team that affected was actually Steve Nash, because he's a T-shirt and jeans with a pair of sneakers type of a guy. So when he's coming in, so He had to figure out how to do a T-shirt with a blazer and his jeans and different things. But, you know, that's just, he's just a very laid-back, humble, you know, like I said, T-shirt, jeans, extremely competitive, doesn't matter what it is. He's a heck of a soccer player. I mean, he can, if he wanted to take that into a second career, I really think he could play at a high level. So just an amazing person, and obviously, you're right, to win two MVPs and, you know, to really take the face of our franchise away from a guy like Charles Barkley, who was really the face of our franchise up until that point, and what those seven seconds or less Suns did for us in the, you know, early 2000s, mid-2000s, was just something that, you know, the town still talks about. I think the team is still trying to get back there, but, you know, to be in three Western Conference finals, you know, unfortunately never able to scratch the pinnacle of getting to an NBA Finals, and I think that's something that'll always be tough on Steve. But you know, what an incredible opportunity for all of us to have been around him, and definitely better people because of it.
Chris Mallory, Director of Community Relations and Player Development for the Phoenix Suns, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. Do you get to travel with the team at all?
I do. You know, I try to stay on the West Coast. I have to do one East Coast game a year. Or one East Coast swing, I should say. So, yeah, I try to, you know, in 14, I'll be here in Phoenix 15 years in July. You kind of become a pansy, and especially in December, where I think it's supposed to be in the 70s right now, and I watch, you know, some of these football games last night, you know, in Foxborough, and just think, oh, my God, it is freezing. You know, even Thursday night, I was watching the Chiefs, and I'm like, it is 8 degrees at one point. I'm just like, there's no way I could handle that anymore. It's crazy. So I try to stay in the warm weather places. I'm able to kind of pick schedules a lot of times, but every now and again I'm not, and I have to go to D.C. in March, or some of those. You know, I think we did New York in January one time, and got 13 inches of snow, and the city shut down. And you know, it was definitely brought me back to my Kansas roots, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know you stay close to those roots. I know you came back. I know I went to the World Series a few times when the Royals went back-to-back years, and I know I saw there on Facebook you made it back too. So you still have those ties back here and support our teams, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, there's only two teams that I can really dive into and be a fan of, and not think of the business side and everything else that goes into it, and that's the Chiefs and Royals. So it's fun. Got to bring my son, who's four, back to Arrowhead this year. We had a quick trip for I had a 20-year high school reunion, which is hard to believe, but took him to Arrowhead for the first time, and he was mesmerized. And then to be able to experience, you know, 29 years of losing baseball, and then to be able to see, you know, what the Royals did for, you know, the 14-15, and just incredible, incredible ride both years. But obviously, to win a World Series was pretty special.
All right, so let's talk about the Phoenix Suns. I know it's not the year you guys would like to have. You're off to a 7-17 start. You have a road game tonight in New York against the Knicks and Carmelo Anthony. They're 14-10, and a tough loss on Sunday, losing that one in overtime to the Pelicans of New Orleans, 120-119. What can you tell you? I mean, certainly when teams are struggling and trying to find ways to win, the fan base is more supportive, as we saw with the Royals when they were bad and then they're good. We see it with the Chiefs. It happens pretty much to every organization. Maybe the Cubs are a unique situation. I don't know. But you have teams that really, when they really need your support, is when they're struggling. But when things are good, there's that bandwagon. People are on board, ready to go to town for you. So tell me a little bit about the Suns and the future for this team, because I look at the roster, you got some young and talented players.
Yeah, you know, it's ebbs and flows. And we're fortunate from a fan base standpoint. We've been in the Valley for 49 seasons, so we'll celebrate our 50th year next year. And to be able to have that, we're fortunate in the fact that our fan base sticks with us and is able to really be there wholeheartedly. You hit the nail on the head. We are a extremely young team, and you know, we've got a lot of talent that is just going to take some time to develop. And you know, I think that's all done by design. Obviously, our general manager came in, you know, 4 years ago and kind of scrapped a lot of the guys that we had, and you know, we're really trying to go young and trying to, you know, get that even mix of veterans and rookies. But you know, Devin Booker is going to be a household name in a couple years. You know, he really lit the league on fire at the end of last year, and so far this year has really kind of kept that momentum going. You may remember Melvin Booker from Missouri. Well, this is Melvin's kid, Devin, who is a class act, and Melvin has done a great job of being able to raise his son and really make sure that he understands the business side of basketball and understands that the give back side. And you know, Melvin was a Big Eight Player of the Year for Mizzou in the early '90s. Played with Anthony Peeler and those guys, and had success. Played in the league for a little bit, and then traveled overseas. But you know, between Devin, we drafted three rookies this year. One in Dragan Bender, who is out of Croatia, but played at Maccabi Tel Aviv last year. You know, he's a 7'1". You know. Shooter. I mean, the guy can play inside and outside. You know, he just turned 19, so you forget sometimes how young these kids are. He turned 19 in the middle of November, and then you know, somebody you want to keep your eye on is Marquise Chris. We took him with our second pick. We had two picks in the first round, and he is a kid who stayed a year at Washington. He's only been playing basketball for 4 years. He was a football player, a wide receiver. Took a hit. Fell on his shoulder, broke his collarbone, and his mom said, "You're done playing football. You better find a new sport." So he walks into the gym his junior year, was able to pick up a basketball, and has just amazing athleticism, and was able to just really be a garbage man around the basket, and played a year at Washington, and we drafted him with the 12th pick in last year's, I'm sorry, the 8th pick in last year's draft. And then for us, we thought we got a steal with Tyler Ulis, who is out of Kentucky. Once again, a young kid with plenty of potential and plenty of upside. But you know, I think he wasn't a first-round pick because he's 5'10", and but a defender, and will just get up into people's grill, and did great things at Kentucky for 2 years. Also is extremely close to Devin Booker, so it's nice to have those two guys who obviously played together and kind of have that bond. We sometimes joke, I think last year we had five or six guys from Kentucky on our roster, and mm-hmm. so I think we're down to one, two,
four.
I think we're down to four or five now. So, yeah, crazy how those Kentucky connections continue to run through our organization.
Well, if you can make a trade for Anthony Davis, you could have a starting five of former Kentucky Wildcats: Eric Bledsoe, Devin Booker, Tyler Ulis, Brandon Knight, and then Anthony Davis in the middle. That would help a team, wouldn't it?
That would definitely help the team. You know, I don't know if Coach Gentry is going to let him go. You know, Coach Gentry was with us for years and years and doing good things in New Orleans with Anthony Davis. You know, they've just been plagued by injury. You know, this is the second year where they just can't seem to stay healthy. Luckily, you know, Anthony Davis has stayed healthy. But I mean, how many times does a guy go for 50 and a team is on the on the short side of it? It seems like every time.
We're talking to Chris Mallory. He's Director of Community Relations Player Development for the Phoenix Suns. All right, so let's look around the rest of the NBA, Chris, and certainly Golden State and Cleveland, San Antonio seem to be the class of the league once again this year. Golden State 21-4, added Kevin Durant during the offseason. The Spurs at 19-5, always a threat. And the East seems to be weaker as usual. Cleveland 17-5, although Toronto is 17-7. The Knicks are improved.
I like Toronto.
You like Toronto?
You need to watch out for Toronto.
Like okay.
They are starting to kind of put some things together, and they have. I mean, I think you saw a little bit of it last year. I think as long as they can stay healthy, they may need to add one piece. But Toronto's a team that can really come on a little bit late. I like them, and I liked them last year. But, you know, it's going to be hard to really – you know, take anything away from LeBron and the Cavs. We'll see if they can stay healthy. That's the one thing I think, if you think back, LeBron's been in the league for 14 years. I don't remember a time where the guy hasn't been healthy. So mm-hmm. let's see if he can continue this streak of you know, non-injuries and staying healthy. And he's been extremely lucky, and I think, you know, that's part of the game is just a little bit of luck here and there.
If everybody stays healthy, let's assume that the Spurs, the Warriors, the Cavs, that's the only three teams I put in that category. I'm not sold on Toronto until they could, you know, I understand what you're saying, but I think they're a piece away, like you said. And then the Clippers, I'm not buying the Clippers. I've seen the Clippers play against some of the better teams, and I saw them against Golden State. I think Clippers are a really nice team. I think they're a team that certainly could make it in the right situation in the Western Conference Finals, but I just don't see the Clippers. And Houston's been a surprise, 18-7. You get rid of Dwight Howard and you get better. Seems to be the thing in the NBA. And James Harden has picked up his game. But I don't know, Chris. I don't see anybody outside of the Golden State or San Antonio winning the West. Am I wrong?
No, you're probably right. You know, you said something about Houston, though, that is intriguing because, you know, Mike D'Antoni goes to Houston. And I'm biased in the fact that Mike D'Antoni was with the Suns for years and really kind of led us to our 7 seconds or less. You know, that's exactly what Harden needs. He's the kind of guy who, you know, is just going to put up shots. And I think you're going to see, you know, a lot of 40, 50-point games with him because he will turn it up. He's instant offense. I really like what they did to build some of those pieces around him. And you look at their second squad that comes in. When you have, you know, on a regular night, you know, Patrick Beverley coming in, you have, you know, Decker coming in. You know, they've got some pieces that as the team continues to gel and continues to get better, I think you're going to see Houston really take a step forward. I've been intrigued by them. I watched, they took, was it 2 weeks ago, they took Golden State double triple overtime, ended up winning at Golden State, which, as you know, is no easy task. But they've got some talent there, and once again, if they can stay healthy, I really like what they're able to do.
Rockets are 18-7. They've won 7 in a row, 9 of their last 10. Memphis is a team that they're just a lunch pail type of team. They play really good defense. They whipped the Warriors the other night, and I know the Warriors were on a four-game road trip in 5 days. The Grizzlies are 17-8, and it seems like the problem for them has been staying healthy. They get these key injuries late in the year and then just really snowballs on them, and then they're not at full strength come playoff time.
Yeah, you know, Memphis is such a gritty team, and they have been for years, and that's just kind of the way that team plays around that town. I think a lot of times you see teams really rally around a city, and that's just kind of the city that Memphis is. It's a gritty, you know, lunch pail type of a place. You know, you look at a guy who, you know, is scratching the surface of our age, and Vince Carter, and how well he's played this year. I've been extremely impressed by Vince and what he's been able to do. But then, you know, you look at, you know, Gasol and what he's able to do. I mean, I remember years ago, and you might as well, when you know, the Lakers ended up trading Gasol brother for Gasol brother, and you thought, what is Memphis doing? Like, how did they get rid of that guy? And then you look long term, they obviously had the vision in place to be able to, you know, get him and really kind of build around him. Obviously Conley, who has played extremely well in the last couple of years and now has to really live up to that contract that he got, which is quite a bit. But you know, they've got some pieces. Once again, I don't think they're going to be able to, you know, they're probably two or three pieces away. And the issue, I think, with Memphis is they don't have some of those young pieces to as they're building, because I think you're going to see some of these guys start to fall off. I mean, I don't know how much longer Vince Carter can play, but I'm pretty sure he's in a contract year this year, so this could be it for him. You look at some of those mid-range guys that have, you know, in their sixth, eighth year in the league, they don't have a whole lot of young talent coming up behind them. So, you know, I think the league is a real good mix of, you know, those teams that are going to be successful are the ones that have kind of come up together and have a little bit of that veteran leadership along with some of the young talent.
Grizzlies have won 6 in a row. They're now 17-8. Team that's right behind them, the Oklahoma City Thunder. A lot of folks in our area are Thunder fans. I know I follow the Thunder, and certainly a horrible blow to the organization when Kevin Durant decided to take his talents to Golden State. And Oklahoma City, despite Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double, he had 7 straight triple-doubles going into the game against Boston the other night, and then had 37 points, 23 in the second half, didn't get a triple-double, but led his team to a victory. And I sit there, and I'm amazed at what he's been able to do. I'm not surprised. surprised because he's a tremendous talent. And I had a feeling that when Durant left, there was a lot of talk about, oh, Oklahoma City needs to trade Westbrook and Oklahoma City's going to be horrible. And I was like, no, this might be the best thing for Westbrook. It's going to be completely his team, and I think he'll accept the challenge head on. And has he ever? I don't know if he can keep this up throughout the entire season. And having said that, he's been so wonderful, and the stats just are eye-popping. And right now, if you had to take a vote for MVP, I don't know how he doesn't win it. But having said all that, Chris, despite his heroics, they're 15-9, and if the season ended today, they're only a half game out of the 7 seed. They'd be a 6 seed. That just tells you how tough the West is.
Definitely, and I mean, has anybody lit the league on fire like Russ this year? I mean, it's incredible what he has done, and I was with you in the fact that I felt like, man, this guy is going to thrive this year with being able to do what he wants to do. But, you know, you look at that Orlando trade last year where people thought, what is Oklahoma City doing? What Victor Oladipo was able to do. You had, you know, some of their bigs in Cantor, and I'm a huge fan of Steven Adams and what he's able to do. Cameron Payne out of Murray State is a heck of a player. Sabonis being that rookie that they got, I think that's a guy who's really going to start to flourish here in the next couple of years. They've got some pieces, but God, Russell is just lighting the league on fire and really doing a lot. I think you'll see them get better. I think a lot of those guys are still trying to gel and still trying to feel Russ out. You know, they've got some of those new pieces that is going to take a little bit of time, but man, he's fun to watch.
Okay, so let's get your finals prediction right now. Are you, like most people,
finals prediction? We're not even to the All-Star.
No. This is why we have you on, to do these things, man. But I mean, if you going into the season, you probably had an idea of who you thought would make the finals. I think a lot of people, including myself, basically have three teams, and that might be sliding Toronto or the Clippers or a Rockets team or Memphis. But it seems to be it's Golden State or San Antonio out of the West versus Cleveland in the East if Cleveland and LeBron stay healthy. But I guess the question I have for you, maybe I'll get more specific so you don't have to make a major prediction. But do you see Golden State or San Antonio coming out of the West? Because I know Golden State, they should get better as they get that chemistry with Durant, and they're very unselfish, and he finds shots easier in that system. But the one thing that stands out to me about Golden State, and I know they've gotten better since early in the year, but I look at the playoffs, you're going to have to play really good defense. And I don't know if Golden State has, and maybe they're going to make a move at the deadline, they don't have that shot blocker inside. I mean, Andrew Bogut, I think, was underrated. He didn't play tons of minutes, but when he got hurt in the NBA Finals last year, that hurt them not only defensively, but it hurt them offensively because he was one of their best screeners. And after he got hurt, Cleveland came back from a 3-1 deficit and won the NBA championship. What are your thoughts on Golden State? And do you think they are a team that you just can easily put into the finals? Or do you think San Antonio is a legitimate threat and will knock them off?
No, you can never just pencil anybody in, and especially when San Antonio. I mean, you look at all the hype surrounding Golden State, and what is there a game difference between Golden State and San Antonio right now? San Antonio just does all the little things, you know, and bringing in Pau Gasol and just those things to just continue to grind and grind. You're right. Zaza needs to do a better job in the middle. You know, I think JaVale McGee comes in and relieves him. You know, those aren't the type of centers you need to really kind of be defenders or shot blockers or anything like that. So I think that if you look at kind of the weakness of them, that's probably where it's at. But gosh, they are extremely talented. Now, San Antonio is just one of those teams that's been there, done that. And is there any better coach than Greg Popovich, as much as that pains me to say, because they've been our roadblock for, you know, years and years. But, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge obviously playing, but, you know, Tony Parker playing, Patty Mills. I mean, they just have guy after guy. I mean, Kawhi Leonard continues to get it done. You know, I really like the move by San Antonio bringing in Pau Gasol, because there's a guy who is probably one of the best passing centers, but he's been there, he's done that. He, you know, can lead a team if he needs to. But he's also one of those guys where he can follow. I mean, I don't know that, you know, he was brought into San Antonio to really be that focal point, be that leader. I think he's more of that guy to come in and show these guys, hey, this is what it takes to get it done, but he doesn't need to be a vocal leader when it comes to it. So you're right. It's going to be San Antonio or Golden State. It just kind of depends on which team gets hot, which team stays healthy. I think either team has a great opportunity to, you know, to bring the championship back to the West.
All right, so I won't make you pick exactly who's going to win the title, but that's as far as we'll push it. How's that sound?
Well, we'll talk later once things get a little more clear.
The playoffs start or something? That sounds good.
That'll work.
All right, buddy, time for an off-the-wall question. This is the question that's really going to put you on the spot. You thought I was putting you on the spot a moment ago. This is the toughest question you will ever have to answer, period. Except that I'm sure your wife has plenty of tough questions you have to answer. So outside of your wife and your conversations with her, this will be the toughest question you ever get. And that is, better gorilla, the Phoenix gorilla or Gus the gorilla from Pitt State?
You know what? Phoenix Suns gorilla is one of the original mascot Hall of Famers. And what he was able to do just for mascots in general, I think he's got a little bit of an edge on Gus the Gorilla. You know, what mascotting is now is because of what the Phoenix Suns Gorilla was able to do in the late 80s, early 90s, and, you know, pushing the limits of what you can do, jumping through fire, 12-foot ladder dunks, all sorts of crazy stuff. What I've learned is that mascots are probably some of the craziest people you'll ever meet. Once they get inside of a costume, they may be some of the quietest, most reserved people outside of it. It's absolutely amazing. But, Philly fanatic, gorilla, the famous chicken. I mean, those are three of probably the staple mascots in all of sports. So I gotta take the Phoenix Suns gorilla on this one.
But I will say, did the Phoenix gorilla ever have a huge inflatable of himself that takes up the entire behind the uprights in the end zone before?
No, but I bet he would love to have one. That's for sure.
He'd be having a hard time fitting it into the arena there in Phoenix.
Oh yeah,
you?
That's for sure.
That would be fun. Something for you guys to work on at some point if you want to.
I'm on it.
Yeah, I hear there's lots of hot air in Phoenix. I'm not saying you're full hot air, but you guys could inflate that. I know you guys
definitely
could do it. Yeah. Hey
so
man,
true.
it's good to catch up with you, and it's been
great
a long time
talk
since
you.
We've
Thanks
talked
for
with you, man.
On, man, I really appreciate it.
Be safe. Continued success, and we might talk to you come playoff time. How's that sound?
Would love it. Thanks so much.
All right, buddy. Take care. That's Chris Mallard, Director of Community Relations and Player Development for the Phoenix Suns, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill and Downs.